Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Thanks for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast. We continue our series of interviewing recently hired Division I head coaches with Rashad DeVoe, who was added to the Hamptons Pirates staff in August, a very exciting move for the sport. This comes in the wake of Lloyd Carter's retirement. A little bit of a different change in the format. We are going to hear from monthly back page columnist Peter Lasagna, the head coach at Bates, who has known Rashad for a really long time, who has competed against Rashad on opposite sidelines. And we are going to hear Peter's conversation with Rashad about what it's like to take this role. So without any further delay, I will turn the microphone over to Coach Atsap.
Thank you, Terry. Rashad, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am excellent. I am. It's a beautiful day in August in Maine, and like the rest of the world, I really want to be in Maine in August. So I assume that you are probably are you traveling somewhere to go try to find some more pirates?
Not yet. We're actually just heading down to Hampton. Packed up the car and the house yesterday and drove down to my parents and stayed in D.C. for a couple days, and now we're heading down to Hampton.
Nice. That's it. Must be. I mean, is a. I assume there is a high level of excitement in that car.
There is some excitement. There is some nervousness. There is some some everything. There is some. Let's see if you can back up all the stuff you've been saying. So there's a lot of things going on here.
Yeah, that's it's so exciting, man. I know that. You know, a lot of us are really, really excited for you and your family, and to see it as an amazing opportunity at an amazing time for you. So, let me be a little bit of a journalist here, as that is part of my role, besides just being really excited for you as a friend. And you have charted an atypical path on your way to your newest chapter, and I would assume, I hope, certainly the administration at Hampton feels that you're very well prepared for this job. But just to sort of frame it, you know, you have done a little bit of everything. You have experience at a high end competitive and academic program at Colby, obviously where we beat each other up for a few years when you were there with Coach Sandler. Always a really fun game day. And then you have also experienced starting a program at Southwestern. You've been a head coach. You've clearly paid no attention to the weather at any of these places. You've been a head coach at Beloit, and you've been a D1, you know, assistant basically at NAPS this past year. So that's an awful lot. I would say you have more different tools as a result in your toolbox than many of us. Speak a little bit about how you feel that each one of these stops and what you've learned sort of along the way has prepared you for what you're driving towards right now.
I mean, I've been super fortunate to have some amazing mentors. You know, even going back to Dallas Jesuit and Chris Durant, basically where a lot of my foundation is from. He's the most, you know, brilliant X's and O's and fundamental person that I've been around, and that wow. That gave me my foundation of basics of lacrosse, mm-hmm. and where I could go next. And then Bill Bowman at Southwestern was great. He kind of had the Jack Sandler model of, you know, he really loves the kids, and it's a family mm-hmm. atmosphere, and his wife's director of admissions, at least that's what she was at the time I was there. She may have bumped okay. up, but you know, and they taught me actually how to make a class and how to how to recruit a class, which was great. So when I went with Jack and to Colby in the high academic, that was more of my education of, you know, how to deal with kids, how to create relationships with kids, and then how to create great classes. And then being at Beloit, I think the kids were just so hardworking and hungry, and they just had so much to prove that that was the fun part of just traveling everywhere and seeing if a Midwest team could compete. And so all these different places, and Knapps was, I always tell people this, the group of kids that were at Knapps last year were special. They were a special group of kids. I would worry so much about all the games and stuff, and they would just come out and do stuff that I haven't seen kids do. And I was like, okay, these guys are going to be pretty good. And so that gave me that level of, okay, this is what you want to be, a top 25 program one day. This is the level of talent that you're looking to get to, or the level of work that you need to get to. But it is funny. I do say I took a strange route to get here, unlike most guys who go to play the college route. You know, after college, they're an assistant, and they go to another assistant and bump up. I did take some strange paths to Texas and Maine and Beloit. some different paths to get here.
You really, I mean, it is the postcard collection alone would be really interesting, just because and as I said, it's almost like your career, the subtitle of your career is, you know, I can make it in any non-traditional setting. So, obviously, right, correct.
This didn't mean to do it that way.
That's okay. You have, I mean, it's, you know, there are very few coincidences in life. So you have on some level known exactly what you were doing the whole time. So I would love you to speak a little bit, and part of this question is based on things I have heard, picked up, but I've not talked to you about it, even though we had an opportunity to talk about it at the Jack Sandler event, the Jamboree last weekend. I don't remember me actually asking this question, so I'm going to ask you now, and feel free to correct whatever I've got wrong. From what I have sort of gathered, it sounded like when they first contacted you that you were excited about the opportunity and that it was appealing. I know obviously you were also, and we talked a little bit about this the other day, you were also going through, you know, Coach Amplo coming in and sort of trying to figure out exactly where you fit in his next plans. And then from what I understand, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, you then went, I'm not sure if Hampton is the right thing for me and us, my family right now. And that maybe you backed off a little bit, and then you went back and thought, you know what, I actually think this is a great thing for me. So, first of all, is any of that accurate? And if not, I will be quiet and let you answer the question and tell us what really happened.
No, kind of accurate. So a friend of mine from Texas, his son played at Hampton. And so I had been following it, and I had coached him when he was young, like third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade. And he went to Hampton, and so I had been following the program, and of course it has a wanting to see it succeed and love the success that Coach Carter has done with it. And he called me and said, hey, Coach Carter is retiring. I have a friend there. What do you think about applying? And I was like, I don't know. You know, I'm liking what's going on here. Newport's a great life.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying my time, love the kids. And so I did send out a letter, and Hampton has a very interesting way of doing things, which if you're on the outside looking in, you think that something strange is going on. But when you're in and see what they're doing, you're like, oh, I get it. It was a long process. They're very meticulous. I think it started probably around T99 time, like the June 1st-ish, 2nd-ish time. And probably I didn't hear back for a while after that. And then it took a while. And then when I went down there and spoke with the athletic director, Eugene Marshall, and President Harvey, I saw what they were doing, and I was like, okay, I get it. But outside looking in, I was like, what's going on? But I saw the vision, and it's in line with what basically I've been doing my whole career, and it just fit perfect. It fit perfect.
Wow.
Plus it being a campus and all that.
Yeah, it's, like I said, it's pretty amazing. For all, it also must make you feel good. I can imagine that however many days or weeks or whatever of stress and not knowing, that might not have felt great. But as I just thought you just described it beautifully, which was you were on the outside looking at it and going, what the heck is going on here? And for you to, for your questions or fears or concerns to be answered by going down and talking to the people that were going to have an awful lot to do with your chances to succeed, the AD and the president, to be reassured by the two most important people that you needed to have to reassure you, I would think felt really good.
Yes, it felt great. It's kind of like I used to have a Professor Milne in graduate school, and he'd always say there'd be an aha moment. And that's where the light bulb would go off. And I went there, and I was like, I get it. And I was like, you guys are wily vets. I see what you're doing.
Right.
I get the plan, and I see what's going on.
Can you describe for listeners, a little bit about what some of those aha moments were, that things that they did or said that made those light bulbs go off?
So a lot of it had to do with full D1 schedule and and getting to that full D1 schedule and why they weren't at that D1 schedule just yet.
Uh-huh.
And once it was explained to me, it made perfect sense. Like, oh, I get it. That being said, we've bumped up to, I think we're 8 games this year. And then next year we plan on going to the full D1 schedule. So, you know, everything was coming in time. It was just right time, right placement. But if you're not there, you don't know the timetable. And you're outside looking at it like, oh, when are they going to do this? When are they going to do that? And it's like, well, it's just we have to get to certain benchmarks first.
Got you.
Which is something that we talk about like a lot with coaches and jobs. You know, sometimes coaches go to certain jobs and they want the world. And you sit there and you're like, well, you know, I use Yale not in a bad way, but it took Coach 14 years where Yale is, right? And so there were certain places he had to get before he could go to the next level.
Right.
Sometimes people want everything at once. It's like, well, we got to get to certain benchmarks first. Then we can get to the next. Then we up to this level. And so that's where I think some of the young coaches don't get it. You know, even with being assistants, right? With me saying I've been to the most non-traditional places, you know, I remember to go with Jack to, well, at the time, Skidmore, I was leaving a $20,000 assistant coach job to get $8,000. Right? Most people would be like, no.
Right.
No, that's not it. I can't live off of that. I can't do that. I need money.
Right.
Well, you know, that you and I know that's the game, right? That's the dues that we pay to get where we want. So I think a lot of that kind of stuff was, you know, hey, they should be doing this, this, and this. Well,
got you.
We have to reach certain benchmarks before we can do this, this, and this. And now that we've shown that we're at this benchmark, now it's time to bump up. And then we have to go to another stepping stone. And then it's time to bump up. And then, so I look at it that way. And I'm comfortable and confident in my ability that I'm going to get us to certain benchmarks that we will eventually get to where we need to be.
That's really cool. Well, thank you. That helps a lot. I think that's really important information and a really smart on their part and smart on your part to hear it and be encouraged by it. that answer. And the difference, and we might look at, you know, Utah as somebody who went a slightly different model. And, you know, we've also seen it. You've seen it in Texas with high school programs. I've seen it here in Maine where there's the two schools of thought, right? Is the best way to get you and your staff and your players ready is to just throw in against people that are, you know, 10 or 20 years ahead of you? Or is it smarter to go a little bit at a time and, as you said, reach gradual benchmarks on the way, which I think is a really smart model. So it seems to me sort of the next question that makes sense to ask you, because you just addressed a bunch of it, is what foundation did Coach Lloyd Carter lay? And give me a little bit of sort of details there, if you would, and sort of from that, how far, and I know it's very early on in your examination of these things, but how far does Hampton have to go from where Coach Carter, the foundation that Coach Carter laid, in order to meet your goals, or to meet the AD and president's goals, if those things are hopefully all the same?
I think Coach Carter did a phenomenal job. He took it from a club program where he was still actually working in Baltimore and driving down and bringing this program, you know, that's a lot of love. That's a lot of love to drive from Baltimore to Hampton University and put a program together and to recruit. And the one thing I did when I got there, I talked to the kids and I just asked them what their college experience was like. And they all told me they loved the college and made the right choice. Mm. And that's what I wanted to hear. I think, again, being from these non-traditional places, a lot of times, again, I'm giving a D3 background or even some scholarship places, right? People go to places because they get money versus, hey, I'll pay $3,000 more, but it's a place that I love. And that's what I want. People who want to be at Hampton, right? They want the school experience. They love being there. And so I think he found the right kids, the right fit, for that program. You know, coincidentally, one of the big reasons I thought, like you said, nothing's coincidence is, you know, how the program got started with the young man who passed away of an enlarged heart, and his mom helped start the program, and that brought me Jack. And so that was, I was like, how ironic is that? Like, So I thought that was the connection of why. I thought that was a special connection. I was like, I think Jack is leading me here. I really do think that there's a reason I'm supposed to be here. You know, I think there are some really good kids. Ironically enough, there are some kids that I actually recruited when I was at Colby, but decided to go to Hampton instead, that are on the team now, and a couple kids that I had been following through the years. And so there's a great foundation there. And now I think the goal is to get that that first Division I win, and then, you know, let's make this a competitive program nationwide and compete going forward. You know, I've gotten so much support from different coaches. Like you said, phone calls of just so much support. And I think the lacrosse community wants to see Hampton University successful. And that's the thing where I think it's unique, where a lot of times people will be like, oh, we don't want this program in, or, you know, another program. I think they want to see it successful, which means there'll be more programs coming. And if you know, that's what we're looking for. Looking for the growth of the sport and more competitive programs at that Division I level.
Wow. That's a really great point, Rashad, and I agree with you. Obviously you would have a much better feel for it sitting where you're sitting than where I am. But I believe you're right. I mean, I think from when Coach Carter started the program, I think my feeling, my sense was that the lacrosse world wanted Hampton to win, and I think with you, you know, being there as the next person to take it to the next level, I think you're I think you're 100% right.
I mean, think about that. Like coming from Baltimore, driving down, you know, basically for love of the sport and
yeah.
the university and the game to help make this program a D1 program. A lot of, you know, again, we're going back to a lot of days where it's about money for people.
Yeah.
It was about love of the sport and giving back,
yeah.
and giving back to the game.
Yeah, that's so cool. So sort of continuing on that roadmap, if you will, and you've just spoken very articulately about sort of the foundation, and I love the fact that some people that you recruited at Colby, you're going to get to coach down there. That is just beautiful karma. And for the listeners, before I actually articulate my next question here, that might not know why you and I just said wow 6 times in a row on the phone to each other, is because one of our mutual best friends, Jack Sandler, who died way, way, way too young at 35 of an enlarged heart. And so for you to learn the history of the mom who helped start the program and that her son died of that same condition is, yes, there may be something larger at play here. That's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Can you give me a little bit more as we're sort of winding up here, a little bit more about what you see as the roadmap, the next couple miles, if you will, for you to get where you want to get?
I think the roadmap for us is to, this is so cliche, but we really just have to get better every day. And I know it sounds like coaching cliche rhetoric, but, you know, right now I'm not focusing on any other team or any other program. I'm not focusing on wins or losses. I want to see what our effort level is every day. And if our effort level is great, I'm pretty sure we'll be on the positive ends of the wins and losses more time than not, right?
Yeah.
If our effort level is great and we lose, I can't be mad, right? We were just not good that, but we were not the best team that day. If our effort level is poor and we lose, I'll be a little upset. we can control effort level. And just attacking weaknesses every day, right? So if our offhand is weak, we're going to attack it every day. If our footwork is weak, we're going to attack it every day. If our communication on defense is weak, like, I think for the first year or so, I just want to focus on us and, you know, not take, as you know, with our the way we play our defense, you can take 20 minutes out of practice to focus on someone else's defensive schemes. And I just don't feel we have that time. We have to focus 100% on us and focus on our effort level. And like I said, if our effort level is high every day and we come with good energy and we're ready to work, then I'm ecstatic. And that is something that some teams have to work on, that effort level. You know, some teams play high up against good teams or, you know, play down the poor teams. I've always said Tufts is amazing at that. Tufts gets everybody's best shot. And Tufts comes out every game at a high level. It's for years. Not one or two, but like 10. It's amazing to watch the level that you're going to get everyone's best shot, but you're still coming out at a high level no matter who the team is or where they're ranked or if they're ranked at all. And that's kind of where we're trying to be.
Cool. I love that. All right. I'm close to the end here, so that you can focus on driving. And one thing, again, I am sort of doing this based on what I've seen happening at other relatively new places, though none of them have been at historically black colleges, is part of why Hampton is excited about lacrosse, that they see it not only as an opportunity to bring more qualified students of color who are really good lacrosse players and wonderful people of high character to Hampton, but that it might also increase the number of non-black athletes that come to Hampton. Is that any part of their focus?
I think Hampton is just about excellence no matter what. And I think they want, no matter who it is or what it is, they want to be great. And so I think they want their lacrosse program to be great. I think they don't care about who's on the team. They want the best players that are going to help them win games and be great kids and be good character kids and on campus. So I think that was another great thing when I spoke with the athletic director. He said, recruit kids with talent. That's what he told me. So, you know, we'll be looking at Canadians and going to upstate New York, and I'll be trying to fight with Nat St. Laurent to get all those upstate New Yorkers to come down to Hampton instead of Ohio Northern.
Coach Tarnow. Let's not go there. But that's a great answer.
I think they want to be great at everything they do, and you know what a great story it's going to be when we can be put a competitive Division I product on the field. I think it's going to be. I think it's going to show others that they can do it. I think it'll not only show historically black colleges that they can do it, but I think it'll show other schools that, hey, we can get in this game too and show what lacrosse adds to the universities.
Yep. That's so cool. You're so lucky. So lastly here, and it again flows perfectly from what you just said, the legacy of the 10 Bears is so important to the sport of lacrosse. You are sort of walking into those shoes in a way. Is that part of your thinking at all of you know, sort of proudly being part of that heritage and kind of being maybe this generation's version of the 10 Bears? Is that something that you know you ponder at all?
That would be way too much for me to handle right now. that group is so special. That group is so amazing. What they were able to do. No, that is just way... I am just trying to take it day by day. And I tell the guys that too. You know, some of the guys, when they talk to me, they're on the team, they're saying, we want to be good. We want to do it for the culture and we want to be great. And I was like, yes, but that's a big bite to handle. You know, just take it day by day. I always, very interesting, we were mentioning Coach Amplo earlier, and we had a cookout at my house, and Coach Amplo was there, and he was telling the guys, like, just be where your feet are and just be in the moment. And so that's kind of, I took that like, oh, yeah, like, just be in the moment, and let's not be future, let's not be past, let's be right in this moment and be present. And, me thinking about that legacy and trying to compete with that or be a part of that, I would be having anxiety attacks and not doing well.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I so appreciate this, man, and so appreciate your time. I'm so happy for you. And yes, you know, as an old white hippie who cares about civil rights, I think it's pretty damn wonderful that you are who you are in our sport, which is not filled with, you know, huge numbers of African American head coaches in Division I, and to now be doing that and bringing your family to Hampton is just beautiful. I was just reading a piece in our paper about Healing Day and the 400th anniversary of arrival of the first Africans to the state that is soon to be your home state. So I hope that the Healing Day ceremonies in Norfolk and parts about. There may be events at Hampton. I just hope those bring some peace and some healing.
No, we're so excited in our family for this opportunity, and know we have a lot of work to do, but we also think that we're going to do some special things, and again, just super excited. That was again one of my wife telling me when I was considering Hampton. And that was one of her things she said to me was, you know, Coach Sol was the person I looked up to when coming up, and I knew about him through Chris Remington in Georgetown back in the day. And my wife said to me, you have to do this. There has to be some people for kids to look up to and the sport people of color. And I was like, oh, don't put that on me. there you guys go again. But I understand it and want to represent well and want to do my best to you know, more than anything, honor Jack and everything he put into me.
Yep. All right, man. Well, you are the right person at the right time for the right job. I so appreciate you. I so support you. We all do. And good luck, man. And anything that any of us can do at any step of the way, if you think that we can provide any helpful and useful support, you know how to get us.
No, thank you so much. I will definitely be calling.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.